Voices of the Temple, official podcast of the Temple of Witchcraft, exploring mystery and magic through love, will, and wisdom, hosted by Adam Sartwell. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Voices of the Temple. It's good to be back with you. This is our second podcast here, and we'll be covering Pisces tonight. And just to get us into that sacred space, I'll repeat our fun little invocation to divinity. I call to the Great Spirit, to the two who move as one, through the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. I call upon the goddess, maiden, mother, and crone, past, present, and future. Creator, sustainer, and destroyer, weaver of the web. I call to the God, Lord of light and Lord of darkness, God of the green and gold, God of the horn and the red, singer of the song. Be with us now and forever, so mote it be. Okay, so tonight is about Pisces, and for that, I interviewed the Pisces minister. I'm trying to get everyone to say archminister, partially as a joke and because I think it's awesome. So if I were going to say it, I'd say it in a very deep voice. Like, for myself, I'm Adam Sartwell, Virgo archminister. And I just think it's funny. Anyway, so I have an interview for you on this podcast that was done with Alex, the Pisces Archminister, and we had a lot of fun going through some of my questions for her, and I hope you get to learn more about her and about the temple at the same time, because she's an amazing person. She does all of our open rituals, and that sort of flows me into what I would love to call our news segment here. If you want to know anything that's going on with the temple, please visit templeofwitchcraft.org. We have all of our information up on the website for ministries and events, services that are going on. We also have the healing list on there and this podcast. So the next Wheel of the Year ritual that will be an open circle is on Astara, which is March 20th, which is when we're holding the celebration. It'll be from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Salem Masonic Building at 107 Main Street, Salem, New Hampshire, 03079-3104. There's a sliding scale donation of $15 to $25. And if you want to pre-register for the event, please email your information to Pisces@templeofwitchcraft.org. Do not call the Masonic Building. They do not handle any of the event part. They just rent the space to us. So they really can't help you out with any of that. Just email Pisces@templeofwitchcraft.org. During the Ostara event, the Cancer Ministry is putting on a food drive, so please bring canned or non-perishable items to give to the local food bank. They also will be doing a sort of coffee, tea, hot chocolate, and other nummy goodnesses after, sort of a potluck. So if people want to bring something to that, please email the Cancer Ministry. And when you bring something to the temple to, share with others, please note what's in the dish so that those who have, strange food allergies can avoid what they're allergic to. The Cancer Ministry is also going to have a raffle after the event, or during the event, I'm not really sure, where they will raffle off 5 items. They haven't told me which items they're going to be, but the Cancer Ministry has a great taste, and I'm sure that all of that will be amazing. So bring your cash for the raffle, and hopefully we'll see y'all there. The Cancer Ministry is also putting on women's circles. They're going to hold them monthly at Dove Star Institute, a school of massage and alternative healing in Hooksett, New Hampshire. I believe it is at 50 Whitehall Road in Hooksett, New Hampshire, at 03106. The circles are scheduled for the second Saturday of each month, beginning on April 10th. All women are welcome to join us in the sacred circle of celebration of the goddess, the elements, and the mysteries of the divine feminine. And these are women's circles, so they are closed to gentlemen such as myself and, you know, guys. And that's the news. So I thought I would get us into our interview with Alex, the Pisces minister. I've omitted talking about the sign because I feel like the interview pretty much covers everything that she does for the temple and sort of gives you a flavor for what Pisces is. So I hope you enjoy the interview, and we'll see you at the end. Okay, so I'm here with Alex, Pisces minister to the Temple of Witchcraft. Though I want to put in the Arch Minister, because I like to say that. And we're going to, you know, give her some questions and see, you know, how she does on our little quiz. So, do you want to say hi to our listeners?
Hi to listeners.
All right. So my first question is, what brought you to the Temple of Witchcraft?
To the temple itself? I got commandeered by Christopher.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I've been working with him for quite a while doing the public rituals, and when he said that he was starting the temple, I was like really excited about it. Thought it was a fantastic idea. And he asked me if I wanted to be involved, and duh. So I said, of course I do. Yeah, so pretty much from ground up, I've been trying to follow along and go, okay, now what can I do?
That's awesome. So you studied with Christopher, right?
I did, yeah. Okay. I want to say like 9 years ago. It's been a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Now, I'm sorry, I'm skipping around here, but so. You're in charge of the open rituals as Pisces minister?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, how did you come to do open rituals?
That was Christopher, and he needed somebody to sub for him when we were doing rituals down at Unicorn Books in Cambridge before we moved, so I think it was still in Lexington. And he said, so, what do you think about doing ritual with me? And I went, huh? And he said, come on, it'll be great. We'll do the first one together, and then if I need somebody to sit in, then you can do that for me. And I went, okay. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what have I just done? So yeah, the first one I did, my hands were shaking so badly because I'm not, you know, too into public speaking and having people look at me. Mm-hmm. And when I was done, it was the most wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
I was just like, whoa, that was really great.
Yeah.
And watching people's faces when you're doing ritual and, you know, just the whole act of calling everything in and feeling the energy and just the wonderful feeling at the end of it when it's all done and over with. And you're like, wow, people, you know, had a really great experience. And so after the first one, I was like, yeah, I think I should do this again.
Yeah.
So he kind of eased me into it gently. And then I did one by myself, and I've been doing them by myself for, oh, I want to say 6 years.
Wow.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, it's nice. It's fun.
It's a good feeling, too, to have all those people, you know, sort of say, oh, I had such a great experience with your ritual.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gives me a wonderful feeling of accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, like I've done something really, really. And it's, the rituals don't, like I don't sit down and just write a ritual. I meditated on it and I talked to the gods and I was asked for help and say, well, what do you want me to do for this ritual? And most of the time they give me a pretty good answer then, and sometimes I'll be driving to the ritual and they'll go, oh, wait, we forgot something. You need to do this now. And I'm like, really? Because, come on, now?
You could have said this, you know, four hours ago.
Yeah. I'm like, what happened to the other meditation you gave me? And now I have to throw this one in? Okay, fine. And when they do that, it usually comes out really, really well. So it's nice. It's like I'm hearing voices in my head.
Well, it's good to have divine guidance sometimes when you're doing those things.
It is.
And I think also that we have to be open to that, you know, sort of the divine guidance changing it at the last minute because, you know, maybe someone decided to come to the ritual who really needed such and such.
Yep.
So, yeah. So we sort of jumped ahead a little bit, but, you know, we're talking about how Pisces Ministry is doing the open circles. What else does the Pisces Minister do? Talk about Pisces and its ministry and, you know, its services to the temple.
Well, we handle the Wheel of the Year rituals, so we do the 8 of those. And we're also going to be setting up workshops to go along with those, which will be very exciting.
Yeah.
Christopher's gonna be doing one, and he's talked about having some other people come in and do them. I don't want to drop any names yet, but if you know people keep an eye on the website, then they'll be able to see who's coming in for that.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. We're also gonna get some moon rituals done. We just need to sort out where we're gonna be doing those, and we'll be doing those. But those are gonna be more closed, so members of the temple will be able to come, but we're gonna limit it to 13 people. So it's going to be kind of first come, first serve. And we're also going to have kind of a rotating basis of people coming in and leading them. So it's not going to be me leading them all the time.
Yeah.
So if somebody has a really great idea for doing a ritual, they can contact me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can set about getting them set up to do a ritual.
Cool.
So, because it's a good thing for people to learn.
Yeah.
We're also going to be working on doing some of the private rituals, thickening and hand fasting and stuff like that.
Like rituals of passage?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Rituals of passage. So we're going to be working on doing some of those too.
Cool.
And those we work with the other ministries too, because they're not like the public rituals. They're more of the private.
Yeah.
But hand fasting is one of my favorite things to do. So.
Oh, cool.
It's neat. It's the one time where you get to like, stand with the groom. Because as a girl, I always stood with the brides, you know?
Yeah.
But then I get to stand with the groom and I get to watch his face and talk to him while, like, the girl's either walking into the circle or down the aisle. And it's the greatest thing in the world to watch him go, oh boy, what am I doing? This is so great. Look at her. Isn't she beautiful? And it's the greatest thing to see. You're just like, wow.
Yeah.
And you always, like, look really cool.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's like that emotion, like, really comes out during that sort of thing, so.
Yeah. Now, I forget the particulars, whether you're involved in the... I know Cancer Ministry is doing some sort of women's rituals.
Yes.
But are you involved in that, or no?
I'm not, no.
Okay.
That's all under Cancer, because it's under the Women's Mysteries, and it's not like the regular open rituals that we're doing.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's a fine line differentiating it. But that's how that falls under that.
It's only open to women at the
moment,
right? Or will be forever. Yeah.
But they also have, one of the ministries is also doing only men's rituals.
Yeah.
So it's, you know.
Yeah, I think that's Capricorn.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that.
I'm all inclusive. I'll take girls and boys.
Let's see. Okay, so what other services did the Pisces Ministry do for the temple? I know.
The other stuff I do for the temple is oracular readings. So, like once a month I'll do a reading to find out how the temple's doing and where it's supposed to be going and, you know, make sure we're on the right track or if there's anything we should keep an eye out for. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, keep a little logbook and make sure that we're on track.
Awesome.
So.
Cool. All right, so we're going to get into the more, you know, get to know Alex kind of thing. What do you like most about being a witch?
I like the feeling of that I'm connected to the earth, like the whole energy and feeling like I can feel the connection between me and the earth and between everybody else.
So sort of feeling that interconnectedness?
Yeah. Like when we teach, we say, well, you know, everybody's connected and, you know, you see the divine in you and you see the divine in them. But when you actually step back out of yourself and you look at another person and you see the spirit within them and then realize that it's the same that's in within yourself,
mm-hmm.
I like that feeling.
Yeah.
Where you can act, you know, you just disassociate all the junk and everything that piles up day after day.
Yeah.
And then just go, wow.
Yeah, in our daily lives, we seem to label everything as, you know, this is that, this is this.
Yeah.
It's not part of me. But when you step into that ritual context, it is part of you.
Yep.
Because you're a part of everything else.
Right. It's that, and it's being able to see beyond, like, all the prejudices that we've been taught through our lives.
Yeah.
You know? And just seeing a person as their soul instead of their casing.
Yeah.
So I like that. That's probably one of the best things that I've taken away from, like, you know, being a witch. And
yeah.
It's a nice feeling.
It is a good feeling. Well, speaking of labels, do you use the word witch, Wiccan? How do you label yourself and why?
Well, I call myself a witch because I am. If somebody asks me what my religion is, then I tell them I'm Wiccan. but if they say, so you're a Wicca, then I say, no, I'm a witch. Because
yeah.
I like the word. I think it's empowering.
Yeah.
And I think that the more of us who stand up and say, I'm a witch, and, you know, look at me, I'm fairly what you would call, quote unquote, normal, then the more we'll become accepted.
Yeah. So. I find by telling people that I'm a witch, they're like, really? Because you're so nice. You know, like, that kind of thing. And then, thus, they also get to see that, you know, witches aren't just, you know, broomstick-riding, green-faced, you know?
Yes, yes.
Kind of thing, so.
Well, that's, I mean, the amount of people that that we use witch as a cuss word instead of, you know, the B word.
Yeah.
Like, when people say it in front of me, I always go, excuse me, but... You know, so I tell them, and I'm like, but I'm a witch. And they're like, well, you're not a witch, you're a nice person. I'm like, okay, let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know? Like, really. And by the time I'm done, they usually, you know, they get it. And if they don't get it, they're really, you know, at least politically correct enough not to say it and get in front of me.
Yeah, they choose another word.
Yeah. So my girlfriends were calling, we were calling each other ditches for a while. Because they didn't want to, you know. They were like, you're such a witch. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, hello.
But because we had little children, we couldn't say the other word.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. What sort of rituals are coming up?
Well, we have Astara coming up on March 20th. Christopher's going to be the head celebrant on that. Lead celebrant. Arch celebrant? Which one are we going with?
I don't know.
he's going to be the main celebrant for that, and I'll be assisting him. And I believe he's planning on using flower essences, which is really great. So, especially since he makes them himself.
Yes.
Plug for Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we have Beltane, which I think is on May 1st. It falls on that Saturday.
Yeah, I believe so.
And the whole schedule is on the templeofwitchcraft.org.
Yes.
So, Beltane's my favorite ritual of the entire year. So
yeah.
we're doing a maypole, and we're going to have dancing and a lot of good times and a lot of good music by Ed Newton and Derek O'Sullivan, and
mm-hmm.
I'm sure Krista's going to be there singing her little heart out. So Beltane. Beltane's one of our most popular rituals. It seems that people come out for Beltane and for Samhain. And I think a lot of times, like, people connect with Samhain because of the obvious associations of Halloween and witches and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And for Beltane, I think it's kind of the opposite, where it's the celebration and the joy. We people like to come and celebrate that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Oh, after Astara, we're doing a potluck.
Oh,
which is
going
to be...
put on by the Cancer Ministry, right?
Yes. The Mom Ministry.
Yes. The Feed Everyone Ministry.
They're going to feed us and bandage our knees.
Yeah.
So,
and from our leadership conference, I can tell that witch potlucks are amazing because there are so many different types of cooking going on. It's pretty freaking amazing.
Yes. So that should be nice.
And are we doing the food drive for Ostara?
I think we're doing a food drive with Ostara. I have to check with Danielle and make sure that we are, and then we'll get that up on the website and up on Witchbox.
Cool.
Make sure that everybody knows so that they can
bring in some canned items.
Right, like even one canned item makes a huge difference because when you put it all together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that. What did we have last time? 40 people?
Yep.
Yeah, so 40 cans. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
So.
Oh, funny thing about food drives. The last time I did a food drive down in Cambridge, when we're still working with Lap of the Goddess, so I decided we'd have a food drive, and then Carolyn was going to take all the food, but I turned around, and all of a sudden, all the food was in my car, and everybody was gone. So now I have to find some place to drop off this food. So I'm calling around, trying to find out where there's a food drive. Not a food drive, a food pantry, or you know, some place that can take this food from me, because it's taking up like my entire trunk now.
Yeah.
And I was driving to Durham to visit a friend of mine. And on the way there, I wanted to stop and get a coffee. And so I passed one of those, you know, coffee shops and went, I don't feel like pulling in that place. And I pulled in one that I've never pulled in before. And I was like, well, I'll go in instead of, you know, going through the drive-thru. So I go in and there's this huge basket, like for a market basket, you know?
Yeah.
A shopping cart. And it said, local food pantry drive. I was like, I'll be right back. And I went out and I got like this huge box of food. I'm like, here you go. Here's your food for your local food pantry. Thank you so much. it was just like, you know, they told me to, okay, pull over at that one. Okay, go inside. Don't go through the drive-thru.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how after a while, like, it's not the spells you cast. It's not the magic you do. It's like the, oh, I should do this. And it's sort of that divine synchronicity happens. It's very cool.
It is. It's amazing. And when you start listening to it, you know, because when you ignore it, bad things happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just taught a class about listening to your inner voice, and Derek and I were coming, the Leo minister, and I were coming back from someplace down in Boston or wherever, and it was raining, and I looked at him, and I thought, you know, check your hood on your car, and I didn't say anything, because, you know, and he didn't, and the hood came up and smashed his windshield, and it was raining, and it was really bad, and could have killed him. And
wow.
I pulled over, I'm like, I'm so sorry, I didn't tell you to check your hood. He's like, why would you? I'm like, because the voices in my head said to. So, you have to listen to the voices.
Yes, yes. Not the bad ones, but the good ones. Yeah. Let's see. Oh. Our next thing is, do you have a favorite god, goddess, patron, maybe?
I don't know if I can have a favorite. It depends on what I'm working with at the time. Caridwen definitely speaks to me a lot. Usually with a wooden spoon wrapping on my head. But I just find myself really comfortable working with her.
Yeah.
Archangel Mikael is constantly with me, behind me, giving me messages, telling me, you know, go this way, go that way, don't do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like I know when I call, I can feel a presence.
Yeah.
So between the two of them, you know.
Those are your two main.
Yeah, yeah.
Work with them the most.
Yeah. I like Pan too.
Yeah.
Usually when I'm outside in my backyard, because I've got a circle back there, I can feel him there. I have a little statue of him, and I can walk out, and you can almost feel the presence.
Cool.
So that's always nice.
Yeah, it is cool. What kind of witchcraft draws you?
What kind of witchcraft?
Yeah.
Like pantheon-wise, like Celtic or Druidic?
It could be pantheon. It could be, you know, what sort of...
What witchy things do I like to do?
Yeah, pretty much.
I like making potions.
Ah.
I like working over a cauldron. I like making...
Very Caridwen.
Yeah, I like making charms and talismans for people, and like anything crafty, like physically building and creating. I like doing that sort of stuff.
Do you have a pantheon that you like the most?
I usually stick with a Celtic pantheon.
Yeah,
being, you know, Irish.
Yeah. See, I'm like half Scottish and I love the Greeks. So
yep.
I'm a little off.
The Greeks are so familiar because you see them everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, new movie coming out.
Yes, yes. So. I saw that movie. how do you integrate your magic into your life?
Well, I try to integrate it into everything I do. So when I'm cooking, you know,
yeah.
I make sure that, like, I don't cook when I'm in a bad mood because I don't want to give people indigestion.
Yeah.
So especially that when I'm driving, I'm shielding my car.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm sending my daughter off to school, I'm sending her off with lights and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we do like a little meditation on the way to school. I have patients who come into my office, so I try to do a lot of visualization on them to like so that I'm minimizing their pain because not many people like having needles stuck into them.
No.
So like in my daily life, just like little things like that, I try to do.
Hmm. That sounds good. So it's more of like a instant magic and you know meditation on the way to work.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. That's cool. Do you have any amazing stories of revelation, manifestation, or magic you want to share?
Not really, but I don't know. I think that there aren't any major ones.
Yeah.
I think that, like, every day and, like, every experience can be considered a major one if you look at the fact that, like, you're communicating with, like, deity.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you turn around, there's the chance for grace.
Yeah.
So I just think that, like, that every moment is a magical moment, and every moment is a chance to recognize that you're touching divinity.
Yeah.
Instead of looking for, like, one huge one.
Yeah. Do you have one that was maybe a turning point?
I have one major one, but I really can't say it because it has to do with, you know, my work and...
Oh, okay.
You know, you can't really put stuff like that on here.
No.
My major turning point of my life was when Christopher's mom, we just happened to intersect, and that was like the turning point. It was amazing that she just came up to me and you know wished me happy Sabbath, and I was like, who are you? And she lived two doors down from me, and I never knew it. And Christopher taught out of that house, and I never knew it. So here were two practicing witches two doors down, and we didn't have any idea that we were there. And the fact that then when I needed that in my life, and Rosalie was there, and all of a sudden my life opened up, and I met Christopher, and I met everybody in my life right now. So I guess that's a major turning point for me, and magical. And if it wasn't for Rosalie, I wouldn't have all these wonderful people in my life.
Yeah. It sounds like you have a lot of synchronicity in your life.
I do. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, that's a great way for it to manifest. Let's see. What was it? Oh, now some of the people here may not know it, but you grew up in South Africa and the UK?
Yep, I was born in South Africa.
Yeah.
And I lived there till I was about 8 and a half. And then we left there and we went to England for about 5 years, and then we came here.
So that's where you get your delicious accent from?
Oh, yeah.
that many people are like, I love, you know, Alex's accent. I just want to hear her do ritual all the time.
Yeah.
So what was that like growing up there?
Well, South Africa was very, it was warm and beautiful and vibrant. Just a beautiful country. Everything just felt so fertile.
Yeah.
So, like magical wise, I hadn't really touched on anything. I have memories of astral projecting.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in South Africa and had no idea what it was. I thought it was normal that you could fly.
So. Yeah. I had that growing up in Vermont, so yes.
Right. And it wasn't like I ever said anything to anybody so somebody could say, well, no, that's not normal.
Yeah.
And my mom's always been very supportive of everything that I wanted to do. So I'm sure if I said, well, Mom, I was doing this, and she would say, oh, okay, well, you know, that's called astral projecting, and why don't we work on it consciously now? So, and then in England, I my best friend there, her name is Kelly, we were convinced we were witches. So I was, you know, I was like 10 at the time. We were talking, and we'd both discovered that we were witches. And mm-hmm. she was like, well, this is great, so we can do magic. And we used to do a paper route.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's England, it rains. So doing a paper route in the rain is not very comfortable. So we used to do instant magic to stop the rain. And then as soon as we'd done the paper route, the rain would come down. It was real, and we were like, whoa, we're real witches. <You know? laughs> Yeah. And at 10, you're just like, we're so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was talking to my mom, and I was doing a paper at school, and I was going to a Christian school, and they said, well, you know, we're going to be researching different religions. And I researched Wicca. And as soon as I did, I said, well, this is what I am. Wow.
Yeah.
And
I really agree with this.
Yeah. Like, everything just fit for me. And I went home and I told my mom, who's, you know, a church-going Catholic, and she said, okay, and helped me, like, find my path. She was really great.
She sounds very supportive.
She's the best. So, so I always had a really easy path of it, and I think a lot of it was because my mom was so supportive.
Yeah.
When I came to America, I didn't, like, I told people that I was a witch, and I never thought anything of it. I never really understood the differences between people's religions and, like, what a huge deal it was.
Yeah.
Because when we were in South Africa, I don't remember discussing religions.
Yeah.
And when we went to England, even though I went to a Christian school, we never discussed whether somebody was a Jew or they're Christian or whatever they are. So it never really came up that some people didn't like other people because of their religion.
Yeah.
So when I came to America and I discovered that, I was really shocked.
Yeah.
I had a friend who lived across the street who was Jewish, and she was crying one day, what's wrong? And she said, well, you know, they were picking on me. I'm like, why? Because she was beautiful and she was, you know, popular mm-hmm. and really, really friendly. And she said, well, because I'm Jewish. I was like, so?
Yeah.
Like, what's that got to do with anything? And she said, well, they don't like me because I'm Jewish. I'm like, that's stupid. Why would somebody not like you because you're Jewish? So, and then about a year after that, I actually had people saying stuff to me because I was a witch.
Yeah.
And that's about when they had the church group starting up in the schools, you know?
Yeah.
And a couple of them were just like, well, you're going to hell. I said, well, I don't believe in hell, so I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
And so I think in America, I found more of like the religious intolerance.
Yeah, and persecution sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, which is surprising because, you know, we're based on moving here for, like, the Puritans and all the people who were escaping religious persecution came here to escape it.
Right.
You know?
And brought it all with them.
And they, yeah, it's strange how, you know, sometimes I feel like we recreate the past by doing that sort of xenophobic thinking.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's really sad.
It is sad. It is very sad. And as a person who studied many religions, you know, to figure out which one he wanted, I find it silly because there are such great, huge veins of wisdom in each of the paths.
Right. It just depends on what vibes with you. I mean, you can't tell somebody, well, you have to be this religion.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody has the right to tell anybody else what path their soul needs to take.
Yeah.
So that person needs to decide for themselves, this is my path, and this is where I'm going to go with it, and be happy for them that they found a path, you know, that they're comfortable mm-hmm. with and that works for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The whole religious intolerance thing, actually the intolerance thing just gets to me, because I just don't understand.
Yeah. It is pretty crazy.
I just want people to be happy. And be nice to each other.
Yes, yeah, I know. As a Libra, I'm like, can we just get along?
Everybody should get along.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was very great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye, listeners.
Ciao.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast tonight. And I know me and Alex both enjoyed having the interview and getting together and gabbing. So I hope that you enjoy listening to it as well. And I'll just start our closing de-invocation. We thank the Great Spirit and the two who move as one. We thank the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. We thank the Lord and the Lady who move through us and work with us. May we recognize your presence in our lives. Blessed be. Merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be, everyone. Voices of the Temple. The contents of this podcast are copyright 2010 of the Temple of Witchcraft. For more information, please visit templeofwitchcraft.org.